Okay, good morning, everybody. We're going to begin Parshas B'Shalach. So right away, you see, you should not believe the weather forecasters who said that the morning commute was going to be disastrous. It was going to be ice and this and that. And as I look out the window, absolutely nothing. So the news cries wolf again. So you'll be rewarded for coming. This is the famous Parsha of the splitting of the sea, and we're going to extract the lessons that we can learn from this based on the teachings of the Shvilei Pinchas from the year Tufshin Ayin Gimel, 2014. So let's start with the first source, where it says, Paro drew near, and the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were advancing after them. They were frightened, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. So what does it mean they cried out to the Lord? So Rashi says they cried out, they seized the ark of their ancestors, meaning they prayed. They davened Hashem. Okay, so they davened Hashem, it would seem to show that they believed that Hashem could help them, right? You don't pray unless you believe God can help you, right? Atheists do not pray because they don't believe. Who are you talking to? But we're praying to Hashem. So they believed, yeah? But then, right afterwards, this is unusual, they said to Moshe, is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you've taken us to die in the desert? What is this that you have done to us to take us out of Egypt? Isn't this the thing about which we spoke to you in Egypt, saying, leave us alone and we will serve the Egyptians? Because we would rather serve the Egyptians than die in the desert. Now, what kind of talk is that? They're saying, why did you take us in there? Which it seemed to show that they were lacking faith in Moshe and Hashem, because Moshe was only doing things that Hashem told him to do. So here you see a great contradiction within the Jewish people. On the one hand, they're praying to Hashem, which shows their belief in Hashem. And on the other hand, they're showing they don't have belief in Hashem, where they're saying, why did you bring us here? So that's the first question. Second question. So what happens? So Moshe is davening to Hashem. And then Hashem says to Moshe, source 2, why do you cry out to me, speak to the children of Israel, and let them travel? So what that means, tell them to go into the water. Rashi, speak to the children of Israel and let them travel. Very interesting, Rashi. They have nothing to do but travel, for the sea will not stand in their way. The merit of their forefathers and their own merit and the faith they had in me when they came out of Egypt are sufficient to split the sea for them. So the question is, if they already showed Emuna and Hashem, Rashi's saying they showed Emuna and Hashem already. So if they show Emuna and Hashem already, so why is Hashem asking them to show Emuna again by going into the water again? They already showed Emuna and Hashem. What does the Navi say? Komar Shem, Zacharti Lachesed Rarayach, Lech Techach Areba Midbar, Be'erz Hashelo Zeruah. They trusted Hashem to go into the desert with no food. That's plenty trusting in Hashem. So why does Hashem need them again? Show me that you trust me, go into the water. But in the Rashi itself, it says they already had trust in Hashem. So what's going on? Do they have trust in Hashem? Do they not have trust in Hashem? That's the second question. Third question. It says, Moshe stretched out his hand over the sea. Now, this is the second time. This is after it split. Now we're talking about the end of the morning, end of the evening. He wants to go back to the way it was. Moshe stretched out his hand over the sea, and toward morning, the water went back to its strength. Okay, which means Vayoshev Hayom Lifnos Boker Le'esono. Le'esono means to its former strength. So the Pashup Shad is he stretched the stick and now the water stopped splitting and went back. And at that point it drowned the Egyptians. The Medrash says a fascinating comment in source 5. The word esono has similar letters to the word tina'o, meaning his condition that he made. So the Medrash says, we see from this pasuk, Hashem stipulated with the sea at the time of creation that it would split with Israel. So after it split, it continued to uphold the terms of this stipulation. Which means to say, it says the river went back to its strength, but it means went back to its stipulation. He said, Hashem said, when he created the water, I'm telling you, I'm creating on the condition, on the stipulation that you'll split for the Jews when they need you. So therefore, it's hinted to in this pasuk, but the Or Chaim HaKadosh asked an amazing question. The condition was what? That the water should split. So why is there a hint to this when now we're bringing the water back to the way it was? In other words, the pasuk is saying Moshe brought his stick out and the water went back to the way it was. So now the Gemara says, well, the Medrash, well, the way it was, esono, is like the same word as condition. Well, it just shows that Hashem made a condition with the water, so I'm creating the condition that you split for the Jews. Very good. It should have been in the pasuk when he split the sea. You should have had this hint. When it split, why did it say it went back? When it went back, he made a condition it should split? That doesn't make any sense. And therefore, the Rechaim HaKadosh, this is a fascinating answer, which needs explanation. We'll elaborate on it at the end of the class. So far, three questions. Let's review the three questions. It's very hard to understand, were the Jews believers or not? They believed to the extent that they cried out to Hashem and davened to Hashem, yet said, you know, Hashem, why do we listen to Hashem to go out? They believed in Hashem, they went out into the desert. They believed totally, but now they got to show their belief in Hashem and jump into the water. And why is the hint to the water having to split as a condition of creation only described when the water went back? Three questions. So to understand this, we will bring a piece of Torah based on the Arizal, as the student of the Baal Shem Tov, the Toldos Yaakov Yosef, explains the idea of the Egyptian exile. And the Toldos Yosef, Yaakov Yosef, says in Source 6, he says, what was the real overall challenge that the Jews had in Egypt? What was the, obviously there was a physical exile, but obviously there was a spiritual exile that was the core of the issue. What was the precise way the spiritual exile placed itself out? So he says the concept of the Egyptian exile was that they lacked the da'as, the knowledge and cognizance that there exists a single creator of the universe who renews and revitalizes creation constantly. That was absent. That was absent. He calls it Golus Hadas, the exile of the Das. That was their problem. They didn't have that, as he says, this knowledge and cognizance. All right, he continues. Then Moshe appeared, and by means of the miracles he performed, the existence of the single creator became universal public knowledge. Okay, so the whole point of all the Makos was to restore that Das. Now, he then continues, although the Das came out of exile during the exodus from Egypt, in other words, they were freed from that Golus of Das, but then he says there's an idea of going out of the Golus, but then there's the idea of the Geula, the redemption. He says the redemption of the Das was not complete. In other words, it seems that there were two stages going on over here. He says, on the one hand, that when they were in Egypt and the Das was totally in exile, so when they went out of the exile, so the Golus was no longer in exile. But on the other hand, it wasn't totally redeemed. And therefore, only later did it become redeemed, which seems to show that this restoration of the Das came in stages. Now, let's look at some sources in the Chumash to back all this up. For example, when Moshe went to Paro, what did Paro say? He said, Lo yadati es Hashem, I don't know Hashem. There was no Das in Hashem. Okay? So, that's number one. Another example, which and the opposite is, we know the whole point of, it says in Divrei Hayamim, he says, we have to have this Das. It says, know your God, your Father, and serve Him. Da, you have to know Hashem. So there's this aspect of Das. All right? So now we have to understand, what does this mean? Now, the Toldos continues. I didn't finish up in source 6. Look what he continues and says. He says, and particularly in our current bitter exile, he says, the element of Das remains in Golus. Only with the future Geula will the Das come out of exile entirely. This is expressed in the Pasuk by Yeshaya, that will neither injure nor destroy in all of my sacred mountain, for the earth will be filled with knowledge of Hashem, Das, as water covering the seabed. In other words, what went on is that when Bnei Yisrael were in Egypt, they totally lacked Das. Their Das, their knowledge of Hashem, was totally in exile. Through the plagues, it went out of exile, but was not totally redeemed. And the fact of the matter is, even though it got redeemed there, but all the other exiles suffer from the same problem, and we're not totally, totally out of this lack of Das, and the total Geula of Das will not be understood until the times of Mashiach, as it says in Source, again, the whole purpose of going out of Egypt, you see in last week's Parsha, it says, and so you will relate in the ears of your son and your son's son that I have amused myself, Mitzrayim, and my signs, and I place among them, that you may know that I am Hashem. So we still need to know that Hashem is, and says the Toldos in Source 10, for the overall Geula, Mashiach, depends on the personal Geula of each individual. Before one prays for the overall Geula, one must first pray for his own personal Geula. So let's try to wrap all this up and put it into a package and understand what he's talking about. He said there's an aspect of Golus Mitzrayim, the Egypt of Mitzrayim, and there's an aspect of Geulas Mitzrayim, the redemption of Mitzrayim. And just like that happens in an overall sense, there has to also be on an individual level. And what he is saying is that what happened in Egypt, that the Jews in general suffered from a Golus Hadas, for that to have changed, every individual has to have his own Geulas Hadas. And when the Geulas Hadas of every individual comes, so will the Geulas Hadas of the entire Jewish people come. And when it was in Egypt, although we left Egypt, so the Golus, the exile of Das, we got out of the exile, but we didn't yet redeem it, didn't restore Das to the way it was supposed to be when they left. And therefore, we will see that the splitting of the sea was meant to totally redeem our Das. And also we see that it's still, even though it got redeemed greatly, it was not fully redeemed when we at the splitting of the sea. It is still yet to be fully redeemed, and that's when Mashiach will come. But it won't come until everybody is able to redeem their own individual Das. So that's all very nice Kabbalistic words, but we have to explain it in terms of Mamaloshen. How does this relate to our personal lives and our personal Avodas Hashem? So we'll start with try to explain what Da'as is before we can explain what Golus Hadas is and what Geulas Hadas is. We have to explain what do we mean when we say the word Das, which in English translates intellect, but that doesn't really help us. You have Chachma, Bina, and Das. So what's the difference? Chachma is wisdom, Bina is understanding, and what's Das? Knowledge. Like, they're all words in English that don't mean anything. So as we've explained many times before, we know there are 10 spheros, 10 ways in which Hashem's behavior manifests in this world, and we're supposed to emulate that behavior. 3 of the spheros are higher level spheros. They deal with the mind, and the 7 lower ones deal with our midos, deal with our characteristics. And the idea is we're supposed to fully develop the 3 intellectual midos, and that will predicate our 7 characteristics will be based on that. So if I have to have kindness, my kindness should be shaped by how my intellect tells me where I should be kind. And so it is with control, compassion, etc., etc. And more than that, the whole reason we are capable of showing kindness is that we should be able, kindness should ultimately translate in loving Hashem. Gvura should translate in fearing Hashem. Tiferes, mercy means to have mercy on Hashem. Netzach, victory, means we should know how to win over our Yetzirah. Humility is to be able to thank Hashem. Yesod is the ability to connect to Hashem. And Malchus is to coordinate Hashem over our entire bodies. So that's what's supposed to be. Everything we're supposed to do has to have the right spiritual focus. But they only can happen if you've worked through your three higher levels of Chachma, Bina, and Das. So you have to understand these are three levels of development of the mind. And what has to happen for that to be fully developed so that our attribute, that our characteristics manifest properly? On a very simple level, on a very simple level, Chachma, Bina, V'Das are supposed to develop the intellect to understand Hashem. Because that's the ultimate understanding, is to understand Hashem, because everything flows from that. And if we don't understand Hashem properly, then all our midos are going to go out of whack. Are going to go out of whack. If you don't believe that there's a God and know that there's Hashem, why should you be kind to other people? Why should you give tzedakah? Why should you have self-control? Why should you not listen to your Yetzer? Why should you coordinate Hashem over the world? In other words, you have midos, but the midos will go in the wrong direction. You'll be kind to people that you should not be kind to. You'll be judgmental to those you should not be judgmental to. You won't show compassion. You'll show compassion to those you shouldn't be compassionate towards. And you won't. And all these characteristics will be used in the wrong place. So for the characteristics to be used properly, and our characteristics are natural to us. We have a nature. We have a nature to have compassion, but we don't know how to direct the nature properly. That's what life's all about. The life is not about changing your characteristics, because you have everyone has characteristics that are all good. The problem is we use them in the wrong place. Why? Because our brains don't tell us how to use them properly. And if we don't have good brains, then our natural characteristics will be used in the wrong place. So let's talk about these three ways of intellect, Chachma, Bina, and Das, and define them all exactly what they are. Chachma, and this is all explained by the best source is the Bala Tanya, in the beginning of the Tanya. And we'll explain outside. Chachma means simple, true facts, information. The range of information that exists out there. And you know, Chachma can be, it's an idea, it's ideas that you have. It can be many things. It's rooted from the word Chachma. If you change around the letters, it's called Koach Ma. Some kind of power. Some kind of power. But you haven't worked it out. It's not fully developed. You know, it can manifest itself in many ways. You go to school, you learn a lot of information. That's a lot of chokhmah. A lot of information, you know, facts and figures. And, you know, let's say if you want to build a house, you can't build a house if you don't have any chokhmah. You have to know, what does it entail to build a house? What does it even entail to build a house? I want to build a house. Good. Can you build one without chachma? Nope. You could have all your midos. You know, I'm going to work hard. I'm going to have a lot of consistency. And I'm going to use all my talents. But you don't know what a house is. So you need a lot of information out there. But information alone is useless. Because you have to know what to do with the information. So chachma, now that could be, that's one way, but chachma be, you know, you get an idea, you get a brainstorm, a little idea, but it's got to be fully developed. It's not yet usable yet. Person's trying to decide what should they do when they grow up to make a living, to make a parnasa. So there's a lot of ideas out there. But you're not acting on any of them yet because you're not sure what you're going to do. But that's chachma. At least you have some ideas. There are ideas. You need information. You have to go online and say, listen, there's one thing you could do. You could be a doctor. And to be a doctor, you have to study for 10 years and this, and this is what it takes, and blah, 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 and then you be a doctor. In other words, you want to be a bricklayer. This is what it is. Information. Chachma. It's information, which is good. Without information, you can't even go any further. But it's just the beginning. Next comes Bina, which comes from the idea, Mevin Dover Mitoch Dover, understanding one thing from another, In other words, the reasoning we use that based on this information, I can come to the following conclusion. So now you take all that information of what goes into building a house, and now he begins to come up with some kind of a plan. Okay, I've decided, you know, I'm going to build this kind of a house. 4-bedroom, split level, 2-garage, central air conditioning, blah, 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 blah. Now I know what I want and what the plan is. The information has now been vetted. We've thought about it. And now we're coming to certain conclusions. Now this can all be applied in other areas. Let's say you're learning Torah. You're learning a piece of Gemara. That's information. But then you have some questions. You don't understand what to do with the information. You don't know how to conclude. You don't know what the final halacha is going to be. Well, you start thinking and thinking and thinking. You come up with some possible solutions. Try to understand the Gemara. But yet there's still one more step that's missing. You know, with all this, Chachma and Bina are amazing. I got the information. I've come to a decision. But, you know, what was that game of how to want to be a millionaire? And they ask you this question and you give an answer. And then what does the guy ask you? Is this your, I don't remember the exact
answer.
Is this your final answer? Now, what does it mean when he asks that question? Right? The person says, well, I think it's this. All right, what does it mean, I think it's this? Well, you're trying to draw back on your memory, on your chachma, and use your bina and say, okay, I think it's this. Okay, but listen, the answer now depends. You get $1 million, you get nothing. So now, is this your final answer? That means the conclusive decision. This is it. I'm absolutely positive that this is it. Now, in that game, even though they tell you, is this your final answer, you might not be 100% sure, but you've got to give an answer. Life doesn't always work like that game of want to be a millionaire. Because want to be a millionaire, either you win it, you don't win it, you know, easy come, easy go. But that you don't live your life that way. Although you should. What we mean to say is the following. Chachma and Bina are amazing, but without Das, which we'll explain in a minute, you're not going to get anything done. Even with a plan. Even with a plan, it's not going to get done. Why? So now let's take a look at the Tanya. But before I say it, it's like, Das means your final, absolute decision, and you are totally connected to what the decision is, and it's real to you, and only when it's real are you going to act on it. That's that elusive third stage that so many people, so many ideas. Let's say you have some money to invest, right? So you know a smart person doesn't leave his money in the bank making 0.05% interest, right? Especially people on a fixed income. They know you got to take your money and make money out of the money. You know you got to do that. That's chachma, right? That's chachma. And you can go to different brokers and they'll give you different opportunities to invest the money. Okay, now I know that's chachma. I can do this. I can invest in this fund, in this fund, in that fund. Okay, I've got the information. Okay, now, okay, come up with a plan. Okay, look at all this. I think this is the plan. This looks like the best plan to me. It looks like it'll make the most money. Now, what happens after that? Often people say, yeah, but I'm too afraid to do it. I'll just leave the money in the bank. But wait a minute, you did all the research. You said this is the best plan. It's going to make you 8% interest, whatever. And you've decided that this is the best plan. So give the guy the money. Oh, no. But I'm not absolutely certain it's the best plan. In other words, in the intellectual realm, in the brain says this is the best option. Okay, so now go give him the money. Give him the money. No, but I'm not 1,000% sure. And since I'm not absolutely sure, I'm paralyzed and I do nothing. And this happens in so many different aspects of our lives. That's why a lot of people have trouble, young people, getting married. They say, well, listen, what kind of person do you have to marry? So I have a whole list of what the person has to be like, right? Chachma, right? Now you go out with this girl that you see, or boy, does she have what you're looking for? They're using Bina. You're trying to analyze, does this apply here? Yes, she has all the qualities I'm looking for. No, ask her to marry you. Maybe not. What do you mean? You just came to the conclusion. Yeah, but I'm not at one with the decision. Now let's look how the Tanya writes this. Das, whose etymology may be found in the word, and Adam yoda eschava, where we use the word yoda for intimacy. Now, what do we mean? Adam knew his wife? Das implies attachment and union. When he was intimate with Chava, he really knew her. He was totally connected to her. Okay, now, how do we apply Das to our divine soul? Binding one's mind with a very firm, strong bond and firmly fixing one's thought on the greatness of the blessed Ein Sof, that means the infinite God, without diverting his mind from it. What do we need to have brains for, basically, is to know Hashem. So guess what? How do you know Hashem? Through Chachma, Bina, and Das. Chachma, you look around and look at all the evidence that's out there. Does that suggest there's a God or not? Sun rises in the east every single day. Who makes the sun rise? This and that. Well, there's a lot of evidence out there. My Bina tells me to start thinking about it and coming to conclusions. And now I conclude that there is a God. And since there's a God, and there's a mitzvah to love and to fear God, so now that I know there's a God, I'll love and fear Hashem. Wait a minute, it's still not enough. You got to not just know, you got not just come to the conclusion there's a God. You have to have das. You have to live in that reality that you're totally attached to that idea. It's crystal clear. Just like, I'm going to ask you, close your eyes. How many fingers you have? I don't know. Well, how are you going to find out? How are you going to find out? Well, let me see. Your eyes are closed, right? Okay. It's five. Are you absolutely sure? Maybe these are not fingers. Maybe these are pieces of wood that are sticking out from your palm of your hand. You look at it. Oh, now I'm clear. Is there any doubt in your mind you have five fingers? It is a Shaila. You have complete knowledge you have five fingers. So we use this term, you have to have five-finger clarity that God exists. It's going to be so clear to you that there's not a question in your mind, and it's so clear that your behavior reflects it. That is already another level. And Tanya continues, for even one who is wise by using his faculty of chachma, and understanding by exercising his faculty of Bina in the greatness of the blessed Ein Sof, yet unless he applies his das and fixes his thought firmly and diligently on his understanding of God's greatness, he will not produce in his soul true fear and love, but only vain fancies. In other words, we know that once you have, you know there's Hashem, now comes the Sphiros, Chesed Gvura. Chesed means kindness, which is really love. Love Hashem. Let me see you demonstrate your love for Hashem. Show that you love Hashem. Gvura, show that you fear Hashem, which would mean you'd be afraid to do an Aveira. And you can be so careful and so particular when you do, when a mitzvah goes, oh, you want to make sure you do the mitzvah 100% correctly. As we talked about last week, if you recall, last week we talked about, I'm just getting a mental block for a minute. With Zrizus, remember we said? Oh, you weren't here last week. You were. Zrizus, when do we have alacrity? If we're absolutely sure we're doing something that's necessary to be done. So now the question we didn't talk about last week is, so how do you get to that level of Zrizus? Well, you got to be absolutely clear. So how do you get absolutely clear? Now you're seeing how you have to get absolutely clear. You need to have Das. Das, you have to have, absolutely positive, this is the only thing. Anything else would be crazy. Be crazy? When Hashem told Avram to sacrifice his son, he had das. He didn't bat an eyelash for a second. He was so close to Hashem, it wasn't even a question. Of course you do what Hashem says. If you just have chachma bina, then you start to ask, well, yeah, of course, hey, listen, Hashem, but not to kill my son. Then what happened to the clarity? So there's that place where many of us reach Chachma and Bina, but that Das is very elusive. If I ask you all, do you believe in God? Yes. You're 100% sure? 100% believe in God. So then he asked the person, so then why aren't you giving tzedakah if God told you to give tzedakah? Well, you know, that's, you know, I might run out of money. Wait a minute, you just said you believe in God. Yeah, well, you know, that's, yeah, I do. But so then give the tzedakah. God told you to give tzedakah. I just can't. Because you're missing the das. That's what he's saying. And therefore, when you say you love Hashem, you're saying it, but you don't mean it. Because you're not totally connected to the information. And that's what's so that absolute final decision, as they say. That absolute final, you're totally connected. So therefore, what is das? So das really is not something brand new. See, chokhmah is something brand new. Brand new information comes that you didn't have yesterday. I didn't know. Now I know. Bina, I had the information, but I didn't know what it meant, what the information meant. Now I know what it means. Das, nothing new is happening here. There's no new knowledge, there's no new chachma, there's no new bina, but now it's totally soaked into you. It's the absolute decision. I've weighed the issue, even though I've come to a decision before, but I wasn't absolute. And therefore, it is what takes you. It means to say you have it. So it's so conclusive now that you won't rest until you do what your intellect tells you to do. So really, das is this bridge between the brain and the midos. That's why you'll find different enumerations of the 10 spheros. There's two. Ways it comes out. One says Keser Chachma Bina, and then the seven lower midas. And one says Chachma Bina Das on the lower midas. So what is it? Is it that one or that one? Well, the answer is Keser. Keser really means like the will. What's your will? What is it you really want? Lamashal, Keser. I have a will. I want to build a house. We don't even know how to do it. That's my will, though. So Chachma, I investigate all the options. Bina, I come to the conclusion. Okay, I come to the conclusion, I have the plan. Now let's get on with it. That would seem to make sense, but wait a minute. But you know, how come it doesn't ever happen? Well, because you need das. Das means to concretize it and make it absolutely sure. So what does that mean? Well, if I got that, well, the ruts on the desire was just a generic, I want to have a house. Das means I'm at the stage I'm going to build it. I'm so clear, but it's all different levels of da of your brain. So you know if the das is there, well then everything. Therefore, das isn't anything new. There's nothing new that happens with das. But what is you become totally connected to the information. You become totally connected to the ratzon. Now I know what I want. Keser means I want a house. Oh, you want a house doesn't mean anything. But now that I've come up with a plan and this and that, now I really, really, really want it. So it's just really concretizing what the initial Keser was. Except for you'll find, that's the point. Das is, there's nothing new with Das. But what is it? It's totally concrete. And therefore, even though it starts in the brain, but it manifests in action. How do you know someone has das? He acts on what his brain says. And if you think about it in life, so many things our brains tell us and we just don't do it. Why? Because we lack the das, the total, absolute, now that I know this, I must do this. I can't live without doing it. That's how real it is. Right? Smoking. Right? Now, should you smoke or not?
No.
Well, there's a person says, I want to stop smoking. Okay, that's his keser, right? So what does he do? Well, he does some research, does some chachma. He checks out all the Surgeon General's reports. That's the chachma. And the conclusion, the bina says, if you smoke, you're probably going to die. Okay, so how come a person can't stop smoking? Because he doesn't have das. It's not real. But you know what? I know, but I won't die. Listen, it's not 100% of people who smoke die. It's whatever, 10%. I don't know what the percentage is, but it's a significant percent. That's interesting. I was just doing a Shiva call with somebody. Both the person's parents were chain smokers before the Surgeon General came out with his report. So nobody thought there was anything wrong with it. And then when it came out, it was hard in the late 60s just to stop cold turkey. But they both stopped in the 1980s. So what happened? One of them lived to be 90, had no problems with their lungs. The other one, their lungs were totally destroyed. Luck of the draw. So what's the problem with the person? You have Chochma Bina, but you know what? You don't always have Das. You don't always have Das. And that's the challenge, to have that Das. Without Das, you're never going to be clear in action. That's what the Das saying. You're absolutely, it's so clear to me that I can't live otherwise. That's how you get Das. Now, the problem with Das, as you see in source number 12, after Rabbi Alexandri would finish davening Shmon Esrei, he would say, Mass universe, it is revealed and known to you that it is our will to perform your will. Who prevents us from doing so? The yeast in the dough and our subjugation to foreign regimes. What's the yeast in the dough? That's the Yetzer Hara. It's the Yetzer Hara. And what is Yetzer Hara's main job to do? Is to cast doubts. Or regimes of foreign countries. That means it's the Yetzer Hara's shlichim, his messengers. Soviet Russia. The benevolent America. Where benevolent America says you're free to do what you want. So therefore I'm not so sure if I should go to a Gemara class or watch the Super Bowl. Or terrible Russia. I'm not so sure if I should learn Torah or I should work for communist Russia. In other words, those are tools of the Yetzer Hara. So that's the challenge. We want, he says, he finished davening. He says, we want. That's my ratzon. My chachma, my keser, bina, and das all say, I want to serve you. Of course, I'm a Jew, and I know I should serve Hashem and do what Hashem wants. I know that's a fact. No? So now you finished davening. It's time to start behaving like a Jew. Oh, but it's so hard, Hashem. The yeast and the dough, the Yetzer Hara just creates certain doubt. I'm not 100% sure. I'm 98% sure. Right? So therefore, that's the challenge. And look how metaphorically this is said. When you say Tehillim, there's an interesting prayer at the end of Tehillim. And one of the lines at the end of Tehillim says the following. It says, Ve'ubaras shel amcha beis Yisrael, and the pregnant women of the Jewish people, Tatzilena shalot ha-pelnav lose, make sure they don't miscarry their fetuses. It's one of the things we say when you say Tehillim at the end. It's a big prayer. So the rabbis say that's a pashup shot is true. A lady's pregnant, she shouldn't have a miscarriage. But Alpi Kabbalah, it's a deeper understanding. We know the Gemara says the main children of a person is what? Parshas Noach. Noach ish tzadik haya. Right? Ela told us Noach. Noach ish tzadik haya b'derosav. Elish Moshe b'nei Yaakov. These are the children of Noach. It says, it starts like this. These are the children of Noach. Noach was righteous. Then says, so why are you mixing in? He was righteous. They say the real children of a person is his good actions. That's the real progeny of a person's good actions. So let me ask you, when a person thinks to do a good action, what is that really? It means he's pregnant. He's pregnant. He's conceived the idea to do the mitzvah. It's a pregnancy. Anytime you have a good thought to do something good, that's a pregnancy. So we daven to Hashem that, well, first of all, we hope that all of us are pregnant. Right? We should all be pregnant. Meaning to say, we've conceiving to do mitzvahs. But we don't want there to be a miscarriage. Miscarriage would mean, at the end of the day, I didn't do what I planned on doing. I was planning on going to shul today. I'm pregnant with wanting to go to shul. But what if I don't at the end? I got lazy or whatever? That's a miscarriage. And that's what we daven into Tehillim. That's what Tehillim, we're saying, Hashem, make sure that I don't miscarry. And why would I miscarry? Because of why? Because my das isn't the way it's supposed to be. And that really was the purpose of Tehillim, is to strengthen our das. So the problem is, when we have the das is in Gullus, we're not able to make the final decisions. And therefore we say we really want to do it, but there's a problem with the Yetzer Hara. Hashem help us that we can overcome that and develop the das. Okay, so I think this is pretty clear. We understand how important da'as is. It's so important. It's the very first thing we ask from Hashem when we daven. Shmona Esrei, after the three preliminary brachas that praise Hashem, now it's time to ask Hashem for things. And there's a lot of things to ask for, but the very first thing, Atochonein la'adam das. You're the one who graciously gives us das. Right? You graciously give man this das. Hashem, it comes from you. And I'm asking you to help me get it. Only from Hashem comes this das. Because your brains can do chachma and bina, but without the das, that means you're not having the certainty, the clarity, to such a point you're so connected with that reality, you're going to act on that reality. And if I don't have that das, I won't use any of my midos in the right way. And this was the problem in Egypt. And this is what Amalek's job, see how this fits into this week's parsha, because at the end, you'll see in a minute, Amalek comes into this parsha. We know Amalek always is the one who makes us doubt. Amalek is gematria 240. The word suffik, doubt, is 240. Amalek always gives us the doubts. So now let's take this all back, and now that we know this, let's apply it all to the parsha and answer all the questions now. The Jews were in Egypt. The greatest thing they suffered from was Golas Hadas. They knew there was Hashem. They knew there was Hashem, but they couldn't act on it because look at the physical troubles that they were in Egypt. They were slaves. And all that slaveness that they went through and the Egyptian lifestyle, although we knew that there's Hashem, we didn't have crystal clarity about that. And that was in Golas. And we need to get out of that Golas. So Hashem brings all the plagues and all those things. And you see, there is Hashem. I'm showing you there. He said, yeah. But it's still at the end of the day. What happened? How many Jews willingly went out of Egypt? Out of 100% of Jews, how many went out? Only 20%. 80% of them, we'd rather stay. The other 20%, okay, we'll go with you, but don't think their das was so strong. Now, they started to develop das. They started because at the end of the day, you had to do some action. At the end of the day, what it had to be, Hashem says, okay, who's ready to go out? You got to make a decision. 80% said, I can't make that decision. So they never got out of the goals of das. They're not getting out. 20% said, okay, we're going to go out. But even going out, you still, it is a decision. But it's not, we'll call it an ultimate decision. And there are sometimes you can make a decision. Sometimes you make a decision, like I said, I'll make this decision, but there's always, I can hedge my bets. You know, let's say you have to make an investment. Now, if you make this, different kinds of investments. Some investments are, you know, they now have this thing. You can invest, and we're going to give you a guarantee of a minimum. You know? Well, we're assuming you'll make 8% to 9%, but we'll guarantee you that at least you'll get 1%. Guaranteed. But, it's that. The other guy says, listen, we're going to give you 30%, but no guarantees. Now, a person, most people take the first one. Well, they're promising 8, 9, but at least guaranteed 1. It's called hedging your bets, right? So a lot of times we hedge our bets, you know, like commit. You know, you want to order tickets to go to the ball game? It's in 3 months. You know, let's say a concert where the tickets sell out quickly, right? And you're going to get sold out. Okay, you got to pay $200 a ticket. It's 3 months from now. Yeah, but what if something else comes up? What if I get sick with it? Well, it's... Well, some will say, well, you know, I'll decide later. Well, that's hedging your bets. Can I give it and then I can get a refund on it? That's hedging your bets. You're making a decision, but you're hedging your bets. We all would love to be able to do that. Isn't that the smartest way to do things? Make decisions, but hedge your bets. So even the Jews who went out of Egypt, they were still hedging their bets. Why? Because we're going out into the desert, but... If it doesn't work out, we could always go back to Egypt, couldn't we? We could go back to Egypt. Okay, it still takes a lot of courage. You're going into the desert. There's no food in the desert. They figure, okay, we're going to go. How far away were they from Egypt at any point in time? Never more than 3 days away. So we'll go. And that's an amazing thing because 80% didn't even want to go. But still, they didn't have realized, but they were kind of hedging their bets because we could always go back. So now what happens? They're up there, and now they're by the Sea of Reeds, and the Egyptians are chasing them. All of a sudden, they're saying, wait a minute, this was not such a good idea. Wait a minute, but didn't you go out in the desert? Yeah, I believed in Hashem, and we got out of the galus of Das, but the ge'ul of Das they didn't have yet. They hedged their bets in Das, in their Amunah. Okay, we'll go out. Things are looking okay. We'll go out. But now they see the Egyptians are chasing them, and now that they're stuck up against the Amsov, now they're going, what's going on over here? Now all of a sudden, they weren't 100% clear. Now they're wondering, so okay, so they're going to daven to Hashem. Oh, daven to Hashem, that's a good thing. Well, of course you can daven to Hashem. He's the one who got you into this mess. But then they say, but they're not so 100% clear. Say, maybe we should have gone back to Egypt. Then Hashem says, what are you crying out to me? Just tell them to go into the water. Tell them to go into the water. But then Rashi says, all they have to do, because they already have the merit that they believed in me and came out of Egypt. So he said, I don't get it. Did they have a moon or did they not have a moon? The answer is they were starting to have Das. It was just developing, but they don't have complete Das. Still not complete Das. So now what do you have to do to move into the level of complete Das? So let's see source 15 and 16. Sefer HaChinuch. The Sefer HaChinuch says very famous words that everyone quotes all the time. The Sefer HaChinuch says, he says, Da ki ha'adam nifal kefi pulosav. You should know man is influenced by his actions. When you do things, it influences you. Therefore, we have a well-known concept that if a person performs a good deed on a continual basis, even for the wrong reasons, he will eventually come to perform the deed for the proper reasons. Mitoch shelo lishma bo lishma. Let's say a person has trouble giving tzedakah. There's only one solution. Start giving tzedakah. Just keep giving. And the outward actions will influence the inner actions. You will become a philanthropist over time. Even if in the beginning giving tzedakah only to get covet. Let's just give him covet. Give him honor. Keep giving honor. But eventually you'll get there. This holds true even for a truly evil person. It's called behavior modification. If you just keep doing the right thing, the actions will influence your feelings about it. And unfortunately, the converse is also true. If a truly righteous, Torah-observant person performs improper, undesirable acts on a continual basis, will eventually abandon the path of righteousness and become an evil person. First you sowed. Outward actions affect the inner essence of the person. If you're having trouble with any particular virtuous quality, just do the quality. That's the only solution. Stop thinking. Should I not? Just do it. And doing will change it, number one. The Rambam says, another idea that just takes this a little further. The Rambam says the best way a person should have is the middle ground, the middle path in life. Not to be overly generous, not to be overly stingy. It's the golden path. And that's how you have to have it. But sometimes a person can be way off the path, really extreme. So how do you get back onto the middle path? So he says, look in source 16. For example, if a person is haughty and arrogant, way on the wrong side, he should do things that are degrading and humiliating. He should now go to the extreme opposite side. And so you want to be in the middle, but you find yourself on the wrong side. What do you got to do? You got to go completely to the other side. And over time, what will happen? You'll end up in the middle. You'll end up in the middle. He should continue to do these things until the arrogance has been completely eradicated. Then he should return to the middle of the road form of behavior, which is always the best. He should continue on that path for the rest of his days. Okay. So now, let's take a look at the Jewish people. What was the issue with the Jewish people? They were not in the middle path, certainly when it came to Amunah with Hashem. And the Jews couldn't make these things happen. They couldn't manifest the right amount of Das to Hashem. So Hashem says there's only one way to correct the problems of Das is through behavior modification. So you say you believe in Hashem, but you just can't do it? So the only one way you're ever going to do it, by doing it. You know, it reminds me of the joke that I've heard so many times I can't laugh at it. Right? Everyone's standing around at a dinner party, around a pool. And all of a sudden, this guy jumps in a pool, and there's an alligator running behind him. And he's swimming so fast to the other edge of the pool, he does it like Olympic record time. Everybody, so he comes out and says, what do you have to say for yourself? One thing, who pushed me? In other words, when you'd say, can you jump in the pool and outswim the alligator? I'm not going to do that. But if you're pushed in, you got no choice. You got to outswim it. And now, you know what? Tomorrow you could jump in the pool on your own because you know you can outswim the alligator. Jewish people were at the Sea of Reeds. So now you got to know, Hashem is the one who created that situation. Hashem did not have to do this. He could have had the Jews go out of Mitzrayim and go straight into Eretz Yisrael. Torah says Hashem didn't want to do that, though. Hashem says, right in the beginning of the parasha, Hashem took us out and he took us the long way. He didn't take us straight. Because why? Because if we go the straight way, we'd see the Philistines and we'd be too afraid to fight them. Remember, for the Jews to go into Eretz Yisrael meant you have to totally believe in Hashem. You have Jews who don't know how to fight. Hashem says, just go fight them, you'll destroy them, kill them. That needs incredible das, doesn't it? Which I can't send them there. They don't have any das yet. How are they going to have the right emuna? They don't have das. So what does Hashem have to do? I have to give them a lesson in das. They didn't sign up for it, but I'm going to make them. What am I going to do? I'm going to make them go to the Sea of Reeds, which is not the way they should be going. I make them backtrack, so Paro wants to chase them. And now I've put them in a situation now. The situation is as such. Paro is there. You are at the Sea of Reeds. There's no equivocating and there's no hedging bets now. You went into the desert. Okay, we'll try it. You know, we'll try it. If it works, we can go back. Now they get in and they're tasting a little bit of freedom. Now they're up against the Sea of Reeds. You got Paro on the other side. Now the Jewish people are praying to Hashem, please help us. Hashem is not helping you. He's not doing anything. He has not made it any better. Jews are getting anxious now. They're das. They don't have much das at all. They say, you know, maybe we should go back to Egypt. Now it comes to the point where they give him the command, you want to be free, guys? There's only one way. Go into the sea. Now, what did he want to accomplish by that? He wanted to accomplish both what the Sefer HaChinuch and the Rambam say. You got to do the actions will affect the way you feel about things. And sometimes you have to go to the extreme. So there's only one way you're ever going to have this das. You're just going to have to trust me. I'm telling you, go in and it's going to happen. The Medrash says that all the Jews were saying, you go first. Till Yehuda jumped in. The tribe of Yehuda jumped in and it split. So what do you see? Hashem was saying, you have to go in, and when you go in and act on what your chachma, you know, based on chachma and bina, okay? Hashem did 10 plagues already. Don't you think he has the power to do it? Sure. I saw what he did. Now you're the Sea of Reeds. If he says go, isn't he going to go? I don't know. What do you have chachma and bina? But they didn't have the das. So there's only one way to get das. You got to just jump in. What it means to say is, without das, you have to act as if you have the das. And once you act as if you have the das, that's how you get the das. Das is never gained in the base medrash. It's never gained in the halls of knowledge. It's gained in life. Ata chonein lodom das. Hashem, you benevolently bestow das, means in the deepest sense, Hashem, you create the situations that force me to develop my das. And that's why I ask you, Hashem, to give me those situations. Be gracious with me. Do it in a way that I can do it. And that's the only way they could develop the das. Without that, they wouldn't have any das. The Jewish people were called the Dor HaDeah, the generation of Das, because they had to live with that Das. They had to live with that Das. And this, in other words, Das will always need you to do something before you have the Das. Do you understand what I'm saying? You have to act as if you have the Das, and then once you go through it and you see what happened, then you have the Das. As long as you're hemming and hawing and sitting on the sidelines, you don't do anything. It sounds counterintuitive, but that's the only way you get Das. You get Das by acting as if you have the Das, even though you don't have the Das. And then you have the Das. And you say, it happened. Really, Hashem did it for me, and I had no guarantees. Now the next day, you're able to do it again. You need practice. It needs practice, practice, practice. And that was the Das. That explains the conflict and the contradictions over here. How do they have a moon on the one hand and not have a moon on the other hand? How is that so? The answer is they got out of the Golus of Das, but they didn't have the Geula of Das. They had not yet totally developed that Das. And therefore they had to jump in. And once you jumped in, what did they do afterwards? They sang the Shira. Because the Shira shows, Shira only could come from Das. You're singing the praise of Hashem because I know what he did. It's not, now it's not theory, it's five-finger clarity. That's how they got the Das. And all these issues that, you know, bitachon Hashem, you have to trust in Hashem, trust in Hashem, you have chacham and bina, but without the Das, you can't live and act on in a way that you trust Hashem. You know, the guy said, I can't give tzedakah because I know I believe in Hashem, but who knows? So there's only one way to do it, just keep giving. Just keep giving. And you give, you give, you give, you give. I'm giving a lot of money, you give, you give. But look what's happening. You don't have any less. Look what's going on. This business deal worked out great. That business, look, every time you give, it works out. You took money, you've had to pay for tuition. You don't have any money. So what do? You go into the line of credit. Okay, you go into the line of credit. And then what happens? A great business deal happens, and you're able to pay off the debt from the line of credit. That's how you get the Das. And guess what? You have to thank Hashem that he creates situations that force us, because if we weren't forced, we'd never develop our own Das. We always say, Hashem, why are you doing this to me? The answer is, I love you. I want you to have Das. Now, you may fail, but at least I give you the opportunity to get Das. Now, this explains, we asked, what about the Medrash that says, Hashem made a condition with the water. You have to split. I'm not creating unless you split. But why did the Medrash say it when Hashem put the water back? When he put the water back, that's the hint to the fact that it has to split. So Or HaChaim Kodesh says the fog, but now we'll understand it better. He says Hashem made a condition, it should split, not just for the Jews in Egypt. It should split whenever a Jew needs the water to split. Yeshua will need the Yarden to split, it'll split. The Gemara talks about Rav Pinchas ben Yair needed the Nar Ginoy to split, and it split. Hashem says, the condition I make is you always split when you're needed to be split. Now, when did that have to be mentioned? When the water came back. When the water came back, it was only a one-time split. The water always splits whenever a Jew needs it to split. Whenever a Jew needs it to split, it will split. And that condition was made when the water came back to the way it was, as if to say, it's not just a one-time deal that the water splits. My condition with you, water, and water by that extent means nature, you will always split when a Jew needs you to split, and he has the Das and has bitachon in me. Not just then, but always. And that's why the Gemara says in Source 17 and 18, the famous Gemaras, that kasha, parnasa, that parnasa is so difficult. Kasha, mizono, shalotim, ki kriyas yamsuf. A man's sustenance is as difficult as kriyas yamsuf. Or kashin, zivugim, or shiduchim, or as hard as kriyas yamsuf. What does that mean to say? It means to say that just like Hashem split the yamsuf for people who had the right level of das and trust in Hashem, there's also going to be yamsufs in terms of making parnasa. There's yamsufs in terms of making shidduchim. A lot of times you're asked to do things that would appear to be suicidal in terms of making parnasa. Keep the Torah and you're not going to make parnasa, it seems. You have to keep Shabbos, But I have to make a parnasa. But if you keep Shabbos, they fire you. So what do you have to do? Kriyas Yom Suf. What do you have to say? Listen, I have trust. I'm just jumping in. I'm doing what Hashem says. They're going to fire you. I don't care. Hashem's going to make me parnasa. It's the same. It's just as hard. You have to make a shidduch and to marry the right person for the right reasons and not for the wrong reasons. I don't know. It's as hard as a Yom Suf. And that's what the Or HaChaim is saying. Hashem, don't only split the sea once, always split the sea. Every time a person has parnasa issues and he has to challenge the Bidach Hashem, the sea has to split. But it only splits if you jump in. You have to have a problem with a shidduch. It's only going to work when you jump in. A lot of people say, I don't know if she's the right one. Just jump in. You'll see it'll be okay. That's what's going to happen. And that's the practical relevance. And this is the parsha where we should be able to act on it. And it's not unusual that these are the weeks where Hashem always asks you to jump. This tekufa, certain things will come up in business and shidduchim and life issues where Hashem's going to want you to do one thing. Nature says not. And really, are you going to jump in or not? And the only way you'll have that das is if you keep jumping in. Now let's take it one more step. Just one more step. Beautiful, beautiful ideas here. But let's take it one more step over here. The Shmuley Pinchas in another place describes exactly how the Kriyas Yom Suf worked. And it's fascinating. He brings down from Rabbeinu Bechaya. He brings down from other Rishonim discussed this already. He says, one of the problems, it says, when the Jews went in, and in one place it says, Moshe put his hand over the stick over, the wind began to blow, the water dried, it split, the Jewish people went besoch hayam into the sea by Yabasha on dry land, and the water surrounded them. Then it says the Egyptians chased after them, and then Hashem said, okay, now put your stick back again and have the water close in on them. It says it destroyed the Egyptians, and then it says, Ubnei Yisrael, a second time, they went in the Yabasha inside the sea. Why are you repeating it? Already said it was in there. So all the commentaries, all the Rishonim talk about this, the Sephorno, they all talk about it. They say this is what happened. When Hashem split the sea, how do you think it looked? Now, again, the movie is wrong. Ten Commandments is wrong. When you look at, if you remember you saw the movie, how did it look when it split? Like, let's say like this. Let's say this is the width. This is all the Sea of Reeds, the table. The Jews are here. They want to get here. Okay? They need to cross here. So how does the picture look in your mind? It's split. Okay? How much split?
Enough for them to cross.
So what does it mean? Like this?
Yeah.
So like in, he put the stick. Let's say this is Ichves. Let's say it's 1,000 feet. I don't know how big. More, but whatever. Let's say it's a mile. Let's say it's a mile. Okay, he puts the stick out. The wind blows. How much split?
The whole mile.
No, that's not what happened. That's not what happened. Split just enough for you to get in. About 50 feet. Okay, now what? Then it split a little more. In other words, how did it first split? Nachshon Ben Yerev went into water, right? Mm-hmm. It goes up to his nose. Only then it split, right? It didn't split like this. It split 2 feet in front of him. Now go in a little more until your nose. It'll split another 2 feet. Go again a little more until your nose. Split another feet. The whole way, he keeps going till the nose splits. Splits, splits, splits. In other words, what happened? He had a probably, and you could ask us, why did Hashem do that? Why didn't Hashem just split the whole darn thing? Says the Rabbeinu Bechai, it's just like what the Medrash says, like the coming down of the Mon. The students asked Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, why did the Mon, and it's this week's parsha also, the Mon came down how often? Every day. Once a day. They asked Hashem Bar Yochai, why didn't Hashem have the Mon come down once a year? He said, let me give you a mashal. To a king who has a son, And he gives him every year $100,000 to pay for what he needs for the year. How often is the son going to visit him?
Once a year.
Once a year. If he gives him every day, he has to come every day. Hashem, same thing. Hashem, we're his children. Hashem says, if I give them all the food at the beginning of the year, they're not going to think about me till the next year comes. And do it every day, so every day they have to look to me. Every day, to know that when I tell you what you get today, you get today. Don't save till tomorrow. Eat it all. But Hashem, if it doesn't come tomorrow, we'll die. Trust me. He says, the splitting of the sea worked exactly the way the man came. Wouldn't we all like Hashem to say, you know, I got this job, you know, Hashem, wouldn't I like, you know, that my investments all work out and I got, you know, $1 million sitting in the bank, so I know that no matter what, I'm okay for the next 4 or 5 years, no matter what. It usually doesn't work out that way, does it? Hashem just, you just enough, just enough. Barely you're hanging on. You know, I once had a person come to me, a good chaver came to me, wanted some spiritual advice. He has a job, but you know, they just make ends meet. Mamish, end of the month, just makes it. He said, and whenever he tries an investment, it wouldn't work. He wants to have a little bit of rafchus. Never. He says, I'm getting tired of this. He's saying, I said, what is Hashem doing? He's playing games with me. Can't I just have a little to know that in the beginning of the month, at the end of the month, it's going to be easy this time? So I said, don't you understand how much Hashem loves you? He wants you to have bitachon in him. And he wants you every day to work on it. And that's where you'll have it. And that's what the Sefer Chinuch said. You want to develop a mida every day. Is it better to give $1 million to tzedakah on one day or every day 25 cents for the rest of your life? Every day 25 cents. Every day to work on it a little bit. But to keep working on it every day. So when Hashem wanted to change our lack of das, what did he do? Every step you had to act on it as if you had Emunah in Hashem. It wasn't enough, okay, I'm going to make the first step. Okay, I'm going to make the first step and it's all going to split. No, it's not going to all split. Oh, at least it's going to be easy the rest of the way. No, the first step, fine. Okay, I give you 5 feet. Now what I do? You got to jump in again. And again, and again, and again, and again. And Nachshon jumped in how many thousands of times? Why? Because every time he jumped again, it strengthens his amun even more, and even more, and even more, and even more, 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 all the way to the mid. But it went even more than that. Why? So obviously when they went into the water, they went betoch hayam, and then Hashem gave you a little bit of yabosha. Just a little. Now, let's say they're 2/3 of the way out, yeah? Now, what's happening? The Egyptians are coming in now. Now they're in. What's Hashem? Now Moshe's stick. And now the water closes in on them. So now, look at this. It wasn't. Now, if I would have asked you, what we think was going on when the Jews... So you would have thought the sea split completely. The Jews are over here. And the Egyptians are drowning over here. And the Jews are still got lots of good space. No, it was much more compact. The Jews are over... Let's say the Jews are here. Okay. And over here, there's still water. It still hasn't split yet, right? Till you take that, it doesn't split. Now over here, it's been split. And what about the stuff in the past? It was split. So let's look at it. Let's say right there in the middle. So from here to the middle, the first half a mile, it's all split. The next half mile is not split. The Egyptians now are coming in. All the Egyptians are in. So now let's say like this. Let's say the Egyptians are all the way over here, right? Right next to the Jews. Now Moshe puts the water. Now what happens to the water? The water swallows up the Egyptians. So you got the water now, at this point in, is caving in. And now from here, behind the Jews, all the end is full of water. Yet here, and in front of the Jews, it's all full of water. And this little area where the Jews are, now the Torah repeats. The Jews are betoch hayam bayabasha, in the water, but it's still dry land. The Chiddush is, even though Hashem is making the dry land become watery, he's still, for them, it's not. So you understand what level of bitachon they had to have? They were literally surrounded on all four sides. The other sides were never split at all, to the right and to the left, full of water. In front of them, just the next step. The next step already is not. And behind you, it's all swallowed up. That means on all sides, the water's there, and you could die in a second from any direction. And now, like, what kind of fine mess did we get ourselves into? They were standing here on terra firma. The Egyptians are behind them. Hashem said, listen, just trust me. Just go in. Go in. Nothing's happening. Go up to the nose. Look at those. Oh, it split. How much? 2 feet. Now what? Do it again. 2 feet. 2 feet. 2 feet. 2 feet. You know, if you go to Eretz Yisrael, you go to Rabbi Akiva's caves. That's where Rabbi Akiva and his students were hiding from the Romans. There's these little caves. To get into the caves was very narrow path. And I've done this a few times. If you want to get into the cave, you don't even know there's a cave there. It's just rocks. There's a little opening. The only way you can get into the cave, you go on your back. There's a little hole. And you start inching your way through. Now, it's not that long. It's only about 20 feet. But it's like there's like no room. Like it's, if you're too fat, you can't get through. But mostly, it's just, like you can just make it. You got rock all around you. Now, of course, the tour guide has done this a million times, so he knows. He knows at the end of the 20 feet, all of a sudden there's a big opening, and then you go down, and there's a ladder, and then you got lots of room. Right? But while you're going, it's terrifying. If you're claustrophobic, it's terrifying, because what if I get stuck? And some of them were too afraid to do it. Okay, the guy says, listen, the tour guide goes in. He says, you can do it. I've done it a million times. Okay, we trust the tour guide. He did it, right? And he looks a little fatter than me, so I'm not going to get stuck. But the fear is incredible. And you go a little bit. Now, many people don't even want to go in. Okay, they go a little bit. Is it getting any better? No, it gets a little narrower until it gets a little bit better. And now you're totally in. Your legs are in. And now, you know, you're nishtahin, nishtahir, either way. And then it gets a little bit tight. And you can get certain fear, just keep going a little more. And then all of a sudden, boom, you got a big, big opening. And then the way back, you're already not afraid. Right? That's what Hashem was trying to show us with this Amunah. With this Amunah is, you think I just do one step and now it's clear sailing? I acted with Das even though I didn't have it, and now it's going to be clear sailing? What are you talking about? It's going to be clear sailing. The next foot, you don't even know what's going to be. You got to show Das again, and again, and again, and again, until when? Until you get all the way to the other side. And then finally the other side, and the last water closes in. That means they were all doing this, but not all the Jews benefited. Really, only the tribe of Yehuda got the maximum benefit of this. The Jews followed, but there's always people who will follow the person who makes the courageous move, which is also worthwhile, because maybe the waters would close in on them, but somebody already started it. That's why Jews are called Yehudim, because we have to act like Yehuda. And that's why Yehuda became the king. You know why? Because a king has to not just have chacham bina, he has to have das, he has to act on things. If you don't act on things, nothing's ever going to happen. So this now is a much deeper understanding of what they had to go through. It was every second of the way was a thriller till the very end. They never till the end knew they were going to get out of there. And that meant every step required to act on your das. And this was, like the Rambam, to the extreme, like the Sefer HaChinuch, constantly, every action was that. And this is what the Gemara says now. Koshin mizonosov shel adam kekriyas yamsuf. Hard is your parnasa. Kosha also comes from the word kusha, question. We question God when it comes to parnasa, just like the students of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai asked to question him about the man. Why didn't Hashem bring them on once a year? Make it easy. The answer was, because Hashem wanted us to exercise our bitachon muscles. Every day, you have to eat it all. You can't hedge your bets. And if there's no tomorrow, you're going to die. You got to put your trust in Hashem for 40 years. So guess what? We go out to work every day. We question. We have the same kasha on Hashem about mezonos. We say, Hashem, can't you make it that my business goes, that I got a good deal, I made $5 million today, and now I'm clear sailing for a few years. And then a few years, I'll work on my bitachon again. That's the kasha is like Kriyas Yamsuf. It's the same thing. Hashem makes our parnas in a way that every step, you don't know what the next step is. Okay, even this good, but what about tomorrow? I don't even know about tomorrow. That's okay. Hashem's going to take care of you. But maybe I shouldn't give so much tzedakah. Maybe I should work on Shabbos. No. You see, he split it 2 feet in front of you. Yeah, but there's so much more. Yes, well, he'll split the next 2 feet. But I don't know if he will. Now, if you split the whole thing, then I can go through. But I mean, I got to keep. Yeah, you got to keep. Why? Because that's the only way you develop the das. So it is with shidduchim. Person gets married, says, okay, you figure, okay, I finally made the decision. I finally got married. Okay, now it's going to be clear sailing. Oh, you got shalom bias all the way through. No! Every step, it's kasha zivugam. Zivugam means the match. Not to get married is the first step, but you have to have a zivug for the next 50, 60 years while you're married. How do you know it's going to go be so? When you get married, it's not like you see the whole sea split. And okay, till we die, 50 years out, it's clear, it's glot. Nothing doing, man. The next day, your wife will do something. You're saying, I don't know why I married her. But I have to have a moon and be talking. I'm going to stay married to her. Every day, it's kasha kriya. We have that question. Why didn't Hashem make it? Why isn't it so clear that I know for sure for the rest of my life she's the one for me? But now why does the Viter comes a question. And Viter is a problem. And why do I have this problem and that problem? Why is Shalom Bayis not coming easy? Because Hashem keeps wanting. No, you have to shvide. You have to develop your midos. Hashem wants it to work. So now you see how this all fits into this parsha. This is the culmination. Without the das, we're not free people. Because remember, freedom means to do what you can do. If you're always not doing anything because you're not sure, you're not free. Freedom comes from gvuras hadas. Having the das is so clear that I live in that reality that now I can serve Hashem without any questions. And I do all these things and don't expect Hashem to blow a whole wide open thing and make it easy for the rest of it. It's not, that wouldn't be for your benefit. Because the only way, it's like exercise. A person says, listen, I exercise, I got my muscles, I'm really muscular. Now I don't have to exercise the rest of my life. What are you talking about? In 6 months, you can turn into Flabosaurus. What do you got to do? You got to go back to the gym the next day. Why? To keep it up. So Hashem constantly gives us these things to show that we have a moon and a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Every week, I buy good things for shops. It costs a lot of money. Doesn't matter. Hashem will pay you back. Every week I pay the tuition. Every week I'm going to the credit line. Don't matter. Hashem pays back. I keep doing it. I'm not a rich man. Doesn't matter. Are you alive? Yeah. Do you have enough? Just barely. Do you need more? But you know what you're getting from this? You're getting das. And now you understand. See how this all, the whole parsha from start to end, it's all about das. That's why Hashem did not send us direct because we were missing the das. We're going to go through the desert. That becomes the beginning of it. Very good lesson. We sing a shira. Then Hashem says, okay, now we've got to live with mun. Every day, same thing. Going to live with mun. But then at the end, now you're just about ready to get the Torah. Now you're ready to get the Torah because you can't get the Torah if you don't have das. And who comes to try to stop us at the end of the parsha? Amalek. Amalek's job is to put doubts into us. What do you mean? How could it be? After everything Hashem did, could anyone in the world think to attack the Jews? Could you think it? And somebody came along and attacked the Jews. Array that puts a doubt into the Yidden. Maybe not. So we had to destroy that Amalek right away. And only then are you ready to receive the Torah to get the total redemption. So this is a way of looking at the challenges that Hashem presents us. We should thank Hashem. Hashem knows exactly how to develop our das. And it's not going to get it by looking in a book. You have to look in the book to get the Chachm and the Bina. And to say, yeah, Hashem does everything for the best. But now Hashem makes you live through it. It's a benefactor gift. That He gifts us these situations so we can develop the das to be the Jew we're supposed to be. Okay, shkai.